say that I post videos, the numbers doesn't go up. I was like, oh, what am I doing wrong?
Yeah, you're not good at it.
What content do I post?
How many times have I said in the last 6 months to go live on TikTok Live?
What kind of topic? I don't have TikTok shop. TikTok is rubbish.
You are a really funny character. Hey, what do you mean it's rubbish? It's free awareness. Talk to people. You're an inspiration to people. You came from the Philippines to the UK. You raised a family. You homeschooled, started a business. Talk about everything.
Do you know why most people don't grow on social?
Why?
Because the attention is the number one asset.
Good to see all of you. I just want to thank everybody who's joining me. I will be live for the next 11 straight hours doing what I think is one of my favorite things to do in the world. When I think about like things that I love to do professionally, work the floor at Wine Library on a busy Saturday in November or December, go garage sailing, work all week, 50 hours, 60 hours, 70 hours, Monday through Friday, and then wake up at 5 a.m. on a Saturday to just spend $30 to flip for $100. Like these silly things that get me going. Alec.
What's up, Gary Vee?
What's up, my guy?
Bro, I met you in Vegas two years ago.
It's a pleasure, man. Thank you so much for pre-ordering the autographed copies of both books. What are you gonna do with the two books?
Probably put it in my barbershop for the kids book.
Yep.
And read the day trading attention one.
For yourself. All right, brother, what's your question?
So I open a barbershop with a car wash so you can get a haircut and car wash at the same time.
Okay, first of all, I'm obsessed. One of my favorite cartoons as a kid was called Wuzzles.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like two animals in one. Like the one of them I remember was an elephant and a butterfly in one. I've always been fascinated with the 2-for-1 special. The barbershop car wash combo is fucking gangster. I'm pumped right now.
Yes, sir.
What's it called?
And drive-in barbershop.
I love it. All right, go ahead, Alec.
So I've been on socials for the last year. I grew my TikTok to around 120K followers, but I don't know, I just keep doubling down on that angle of like, oh, you can save time and do two things at once, trying to get the entrepreneurs the
that makes sense. The other thing you should definitely do is make both entities stand up on their own merit. Not only can you save time, and not only is this like for parents that are busy, for stay-at-home dads, for entrepreneurs, for like not only that, but individually you need to build them both up as well, which is like, besides that, our car wash crushes in this general 30-mile radius as a top car wash. On top of that, our barber shop is legit. This isn't like, this is, because what you might get caught with is that people think it's a gimmick, but the quality of the haircut's not proper. You need to be like, not only are we the best fucking barber shop, but also, bam, bam, you can get your shit washed. You need to make them stand on their individuality, not just about the value.
Well, I guess my biggest problem I'm coming up with is, okay, I'm a barber and I'm a really good barber. We're 5-star in the barbershop with 500 plus reviews under a year. But now I can't find anyone to run the detail side that's as passionate as me.
Alec, yet.
Yeah.
The biggest issue entrepreneurs make is they don't fall in love with yet.
Mm.
Well, here comes a clip. Because I know my team hasn't heard this before. This is new. This is why this show fucking rocks for me. Entrepreneurs do not fall in love enough with yet. Bro, everything that's bothering me right now, I finish with yet at the end, and I feel better.
I do have a guy starting this week, so.
Yeah, so why the fuck are we talking? You're good, bro. And by the way, but here's the key. I hope he works out. Make pretend that he's not gonna work out.
Yeah.
The other thing that entrepreneurs don't do well, do you know fighting well?
No, not really.
Okay, let me tell you about fighting. When you know a punch is coming, like you're in a fucking fight, and you know the punch is coming, that same punch when it hits you, you're gonna be able to handle that better than if you got sucker punched and didn't know the punch was coming. At the same power, same thing, because your body was ready for it. Entrepreneurs need to be ready that nothing works out. That's the difference between entrepreneurs that are winning and do it long term versus ones that are in the game for a minute and are out in a year. They came in not being prepared to be punched in the fucking mouth. All that entrepreneurship is fucking getting punched in the mouth. So you need to go in, not with this, I hope this works out. You need to go in with, this dude's probably not gonna work out and I need to be mentally fucking prepared for still running the car wash too and I'm a little worried about my barbershop going down. And then when it does work out, like when Sid started as an intern, right? I was like, this guy's a doof. He's not gonna be good. And here we are, and he runs the whole team now, years later. You need to put yourself in that mindset Because otherwise, you become emotionally sucker punched.
Makes sense.
Got it?
How scalable do you think this concept is?
I think you could have 5,000 of them if you're good enough, and I think you could have none of them if you're bad enough. It's very scalable. I think time is the number one asset. And I think anything that... But yeah, I mean, look, time's the number one asset. And so if I can go get, I mean, I would love this fucking place. Let me give you me. I would, if this was in Jersey, obviously in New York, it's a little bit different. But if I lived in Jersey, I would go to this place in a world where I don't even wash my car, but I would do it once in a while because I just subconsciously be like, this is a good arbitrage, a good VIG. But it's going to scale based on the quality of your operational capabilities and the quality of the individual units. Got it? All right, love you, Alec. Thank you so much. Thank you. Let me know how the book is. It's always great to see you. How are you?
Great, how are you?
Good, thank you so much. Is it gonna be a real estate question?
Yes.
Good.
And I'm really looking forward to having you on the podcast next month.
Can't wait to do it. You're welcome, you're welcome. Karma, karma, karma. All right, what do you got?
Okay, so you talk about the concept of culture hacking, which works, period. I work in commercial real estate, which is like a really unsexy, kind of difficult.
Disagree.
Okay, love it. How do I culture hack something like commercial real estate that isn't residential?
I wasn't confused by the commercial and residential aspect of your question.
Thank you.
Is by hacking what commercial real estate decision makers are doing. So for example, let me give you an example. If you and I know that Wingstop is exploding, or I'm on the board of Bojangles. So if you know that Bojangles is now expanding outside of the Southeast, and let's say your strip mall life or single store unit corner life in Ohio, that's what you do for a living. You could be making green screen videos about trends in the QSR. Let's say you want to predominantly in commercial real estate sell to banks and QSRs. Well, then you could be making green screen videos about trends and business news around there. And if you have thoughts or observations, you may just randomly show up and build brand to those people. If you're doing it for corporate offices, you could be making content or writing articles or doing audio around back to office dynamics. I may watch you because you had a good point on how to get millennials excited of back to office. And then I would look at your profile and be like, oh, she does commercial real estate? Well, I know in Ohio? Well, I'm opening an office in Ohio.
Sure.
Like right now, watch this. Right now we're doing business and mindset talk, right? But watch this. Everybody, please sign up for winetext.com right now if you buy wine on the internet. Or even if you buy wine at Total Wine or locally. If you buy wine, definitely at wine.com where you're getting ripped off, with all love to wine.com. If you buy wine on the internet, please go to winetext.com and sign up. It would mean a lot to my dad. Because you have attention, you're able to send that attention. I don't want people to sign up for winetext.com if they don't buy wine. But I know winetext.com is a really good discount wine service and it's epic. And if like somebody does buy from wine.com or buy from their local Total Wine or Binny's or, you know, like whatever, like this is gonna be better for them. And so like now 50 people are gonna sign up because of this. If you signed up for winetext.com right now and you're into wine, please say just signed up. And 20% of those people will fall in love with this service and they'll be a customer and it was off the attention. You could have attention by bringing value to your audience, and then if it works for them what you're selling, then that's great. And if it doesn't, that's great too. I don't need anybody to buy the bundle today. I'd love for them to buy the bundle today. I don't need anybody to sign up for winetext.com today. I prefer they do, because especially when it's for my dad, I get even more excited. But like, you know what I mean?
Yes, I have a question for you.
Please.
Do you wanna crack a VFriends card pack?
Right now?
Yes.
Very much so.
Okay.
Here we go.
I got a stack just in case for backups.
I got one for you because I got a lot of questions too today.
Okay.
Here we go.
Oh my gosh, I'm so nervous.
Here we go. First card. Love it.
Legit llama.
The legit llama. Ooh, the Minakawa. Let's go. That is so badass. Is that the tapir? The Malaysian tapir? I love it. Ooh, Focus Falcon, one of my faves. Focus Falcon.
Thank you, Gary. See you next month.
Love you. Well, my brother.
I'm pumped to be here. I'm pumped, man. Yeah, it's awesome to meet you. So I'll get right to it. So I have a clothing brand called Odaat Apparel. ODAAT stands for One Day at a Time. I founded it in my sobriety.
Proud of you.
Thank you.
How long now, brother?
I'm almost sober for 2 years.
It's huge.
Thank you. I founded it on my 1 year sobriety anniversary, and I have a son who's almost 2. So if you do the math there, my struggle went beyond.
I'm going to show this to Instagram because I couldn't. I don't think you can see it here, but that gave me goosebumps. But I'm really proud of you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. And so we're about nine months old into the process. Just doing as much as we can, listening to you constantly to figure out what is the best next move to help promote our brand. And one thing I keep
reading, I can tell you right now, read the living shit out of Day Trading Attention.
I'm going to.
Like literally read the living shit out of it. I think it's the kind of book that people are going to have on their desk for like months. Like there's so much there. Full disclosure, I was borderline bored reading it in the first half because it was so fucking detailed.
Yeah.
Like textbooky. Obviously, I did that because I know people really need that level of detail. And obviously because I live it every second, it was like, but like, it's going to fucking crush for both kind of learners, the Gary Vee type, where it's more like macro and all that, because there's stories in it. There's examples.
I love it.
Scenarios like in 12 and a half, but it's going to be very tactical for people that really like that kind of stuff too.
Okay. So my primary question was, I hear you talk a lot right now about LinkedIn. So I've been trying to jump into the LinkedIn bandwagon, if you will. It's obviously a lot of B2B.
Look, LinkedIn's awesome for B2C.
Yeah.
But it's really a tier 2-3, like fill in the blanks place. You need to crush Facebook and TikTok for sure. And YouTube Shorts, you know, Instagram's hard. It's very competitive on the supply and demand of attention. It's hard for the day trade. I think Facebook is a fucking golden goose for so many apparel brands right now. And too many people think of it as like their grandma's world.
Yeah.
And they checked out. You cannot believe. Actually, watch this. For the 10,000 of you right now, if you still have a Facebook, go in there and say, and send some people over here and tell them to mention that they came over from their friend from Facebook. I think people would be stunned by how many people would show up. There's so much attention.
Yeah. And we do have a Facebook, and transparency, we've had an issue with Facebook shutting down our account and then like not being able to link it back to our Instagram. And so I actually, before I jumped on this call with you, I was actually in a chat with someone to help me try to resolve the Facebook issue. As you know, Meta's massive. It's very hard to talk to them directly. So we've been kind of having some struggles with that
restriction. Email me at Gary@VaynerMedia.com and say, I'm Jeremy from the show today, Facebook issues, Gary@VaynerMedia.com. I'll help you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'll do that today for sure. So yeah, so that's primarily it. So you know, primarily it.
Jeremy wasn't excited enough about how big of a deal that helped was, right?
Hooked up.
Yeah. I'm kidding. I'm joking.
I get all the time. My face is like naturally always just kind of like.
I'm joking. Go ahead.
No, I'm actually very excited about that. So I'm sure you are. I'm also nervous, you know?
Yeah, but, no worries. I'm just having fun. Look, I'm here for 11 hours. If I can't throw some jokes at everybody, we're going to have a
problem. That's awesome. Again, you know, the brand we started based on my sobriety, but we are not just simply a sobriety brand. I'm really proud of the company so far. You know, we're sourcing our materials and our blanks from Portugal, all really high-end materials. I'm doing the embroidery and printing myself right now. Again, we're only 8 or 9 months old. I'm looking to scale, but it's been an awesome process. But my previous career, I did a lot of work with Procter & Gamble. I did a lot of brand building for like their ventures division and so on. And that was kind of like my previous life. And then once I got sober, I wanted to pursue a new passion. So that's where we are now.
I'm so proud of you, brother. I'm so glad you're here. I'm so humbled for you being on. I hope you have the best day.
Thank you so much, Gary. It's a pleasure, man.
Hey.
Hey, man.
Hey, man. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. What's your names?
I'm Hammy.
I'm Cash. And we love you, bro. We just wanted to say love that. You,
Hammy Cash. The building. First 25. Where do you live?
Toronto.
It's amazing. It's amazing. Great stuff. All right. What can I help you with, boys?
We run a used car dealership for the past 5 years based on integrity and honesty. And it's a really weird thing when you say it in this type of industry, because it's very difficult to make money if you want to be 100% honest and keep your integrity. So we've been working on an idea, and it is a business now. It's called Car Rookie. We realized that people are not so much about finding the car anymore. They're more about finding the people that are going to sell them a good car.
Interesting.
So we have a bunch of ideas of how you're going to implement them. We're doing some market research right now by soft launching it. Basically, the idea is that we want to become the digital person that goes with people to the dealerships to make sure they don't get ripped off, and then find the salespeople and the dealerships that are honest and are not pushy, and then incentivize them by sending them more leads. That's basically the gist of the idea. But yeah. Because it is an extremely new idea, we're wondering how do we do market adoption? How would you approach this type of a new idea and see what people like and don't like?
Organic social media content at scale. I mean,
I told you he's gonna say it.
Cash is true, brother. Yeah. I saw someone last night and they were like giving me this huge compliment about my social media content at a restaurant, and he turned back out and he said, but you do say a lot of the same stuff. I'm like, well, do you want me to say stuff I don't believe in?
True, makes sense.
Yeah. You know, and so look, I mean, the reason I wrote Day Trading Attention right now is now it's harder than ever to be great at it.
It definitely is, yep.
But it's never been bigger if you're good at it. The difference between social media organic content, not paying ads, today than 7 years ago is it's harder to break out because there's so much more supply, day trading attention, supply and demand.
Right, yep.
But when you get good at it, the upside, there's so much more attention. So when you break out, the nets, I mean, if I was doing what I was doing back in 2000, I had time in 2007 to do this every, do you imagine if I did this every fucking day? It'd be game fucking over. You give me 24 months of being live for 11 hours, just giving people value. In 24 months, I wouldn't be able to walk without people stopping me on Earth. It would be brand 40X. I'm not in that place right now. Yeah. But I was doing that back on Twitter in 2007, 8, 9, 10. The problem was there weren't that many people on it.
Literally with you pushing content. And because of the lack of time and us always running around, we actually... this year, because we were in a better financial stage a little bit, and we actually hired the full-time content guy on this for both the dealership and the new businesses and everything that we do on the side. So if I were to say, let's just say, because obviously the dealership is good right now, but for Car Rookie, if we were to, what would be our, what should we care about the most when sending out content, right? What is my main focus to care for? Is it the feedback? Is it the attention? Is it different platforms?
You know what's crazy? They're going to shit because there is literally a car example in Day Trading Attention. There's a lot of TikTok virality for car life. So it's all content, organic content. You're going to learn from it. You want to build the brand of, hey, you know, Car Rookie, and you want to teach people what the value is of it. But it's very easy. You want to win on the first second of the video. It's going to be like, are you scared of getting ripped off buying a car? That's what everyone feels. That's what the content needs to be. I got a very big idea for you guys. So you have a car dealership, yes? That means you have cars.
Yes, yep.
I would be DMing Toronto influencers.
Okay.
In exchange for them coming to the car dealership and doing a video for Car Rookie testimonial, you give them a car for a week, a day, a month to like rent from you for free.
Okay.
Very interesting.
Testimonials, so you're saying, basically get real live people sharing their...
Well, it's not gonna be real life people, it's gonna be a fucking influencer. It's not even testimonial, you have to be transparent, put hashtag.
That's true.
You're just building awareness. People are like, oh, it has to be authentic. No, it doesn't, you just need awareness. There's nothing authentic about buying a Super Bowl ad. You're paying for it.
That's true.
You're just getting people to know about it. But even better, Toronto people knowing about it.
Can I just make one statement? If you could please kindly tell us if you think this statement could be true or not.
Okay.
We don't want to be the victim of wishful thinking. So that's why I want to ask you this question. We observed that a lot of platforms that were trying to sell cars online are not doing really well. And we noticed that it's more becoming about consultation than the cars themselves. Unless you're selling like supercars, which are super rare, if you're selling regular economy cars, then it mostly becomes about the people that are with you through the process. Would you agree with that statement? And do you think that this kind of an idea could be a new trend? And would you be interested in it at all?
The third part is I'm only investing in creator. I'm raising a new fund, which is the only way I'm invest. And we're only invest. We have a very big thesis that we told the LP, so I have to stick to it, which is creator-based businesses.
Okay.
Predominantly CPGs made by humans. So I'm not in a place right now where I really am focusing on investing in anything outside of that. To your first two points,
I believe that car culture has changed forever because of Uber. And I think we haven't even begun to feel the ramifications. Every single teenager in the world 25 years ago at 15 started dreaming about what car they were gonna buy or be able to buy or what their parents would buy. Yep. There's no 15-year-old in the world now gives a shit about a car. Of course, that's a hyperbole. There's many that do, but to your point, it's usually high end. They don't care about like a Honda. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And a lot of them are saving money by not buying cars and using an Uber when they need it, and not, and people working from home more. Like, I believe the car world has changed forever. I think your intuition's right. And the good news is your intuition isn't your intuition. That's my intuition. You're on the front lines. You see it, you smell it. You guys know it's done the way it used to be. And to your point, just like day trading attention, Gary, is Facebook ads good? Yes. They were a lot better though 11 years ago when they were 19 cents to get in front of someone than $2.13.
Yep.
And then there's a tipping point, right? There's a tipping point. In your business, the margins are small enough, the competition's high enough.
Yeah.
Everybody arbitraged on top of Google, and then there became toll booths to send you business, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
And the math is now not gonna work. There's not enough money because of the changing behavior to make the whole system, and then there's gonna be pain. That's why you're seeing what you're seeing. I think you guys are young men. And what I love is that instead of crying about it and saying, I wish we were 30 years older and we had a great run, you're like, fuck it, we can't cry. We got to launch Car Rookie. And so I don't know if Car Rookie will work, but I know that your business strategy is right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's awesome.
We're basically bootstrapping the whole thing. It's not the investment. It's basically everything that you bring in on the marketing side of things and the ideas and everything like that. That's why we said if you're ever open to it, we would love to share it with you. We have zero investors. It's just us and the company bootstrapping the whole thing.
I'm incredibly humbled. $0. I'm incredibly humbled. You know what's harder for me than dollars is time.
That's true.
I don't want to bullshit you guys. You know what I mean? But I hope we get to cross paths again, and I appreciate you.
We definitely will. We love you, Gary. Appreciate it, man. Thanks so much, man. Thank you so much. Thank you.
How are you, Steve?
Good. How are you?
I'm good.
I have one question, and then I have...
Are those bobbleheads?
Those are like clay Esco statues. They're like giant.
Oh, dude, statues. I know. Bro, I bought that. Were those lawn things?
I don't know. They're handmade, and I got them on eBay, and half of them break when I ship, and they get shipped.
They're epic. I bought something like that Laurel and Hardy version of that at an estate sale in Short Hills, New Jersey.
Started with the Three Stooges ones for me.
Yeah, I bought Laurel and Hardy at an estate sale for $19, took it to the Neshanic flea market and sold it for $86 on Sunday, and was pretty proud of myself. 1992 vibes, Steve. 1992 vibes.
So I have a question, and I have some Gary V one of one cards from the 2019 Allen and Ginter set.
No, you don't.
Yeah, I have most of them, actually.
Fuck you.
Here's the two printing plates.
Holy shit.
Here's the one of one wood.
Dude, that's, fuck bro, I've been trying to find out, I've been waiting for that to pop up on eBay, I guess it's not popping up.
They did, and I got
it. I was hoping it was gonna get re-put up. God damn it.
And here's the other, and they're never going up, sorry. But here's the other one. The other one, and there's like a black
bag. Uh-huh.
One. And then a couple of these, there's a five of fives.
I know, you got Randy John, do you have the Jeter one?
That's the only one I don't have.
I've got a few of those. Bro, you just completely flattered me. I'm so pumped I got to meet the I was like, I wonder if, because I could see, I was like, this, whoever this person is like really, dude, you have children or no?
No.
Well, whoever you're going to leave that to is going to be very fucking happy with you, brother. I'm going to work on that for the next 50 years to make sure.
Yeah, one day I'm going to build a toy, because I have like a lot of toys in my collection that go along with this kind of stuff, and I like weird collections, so I'm going to build like a toy museum in my backyard one day.
Where do you live?
Maryland.
Love it. I will come and visit.
Baltimore.
Please email me.
Okay.
Oh, dude, somebody's got the Jeter one. Let's go at JB. Steve, have you joined the Fanatics Live VFriends shows yet?
I haven't, no.
Dude, you have to. It's such an epic community. You haven't started collecting VFriends cards yet.
Oh, yeah, I have some of those too. I have...
Brother, you have to go to Fanatics and join
a
show.
This one. Is that any good?
Oh, he knows. You're trolling me, right?
No, I'm not trolling.
Yes, you are. You know that's the best character. Yeah, that's the best character. Yeah. Is this one any good? Yeah, it's the best fucking character in the game. Dude, I fucking love you. Are you going to the Cleveland Sports Card Convention?
I could. I could bring it and show you in person.
I'd like to meet you, and I'm going to be there. You should absolutely come. Please go.
Cleveland.
Okay. Cleveland has the baseball card or trading card convention this year, last week of July. It's called the National. Google it.
Okay. Well, I travel for my job. I own a business. We do Lego conventions around the country.
Steve, can you do me a favor? Can you please email me at gary@vfriends.com? I wanna have you come up here. I wanna have a meeting with you.
Okay, I'll do that.
Cool.
Well, that was productive. I need to get to my question yet.
Well, I'm not going anywhere. I'm fucking here for 11 straight hours. So, what do you got?
So my question is, if you run a social media ad and it does not work or doesn't convert, whatever you were trying to do.
You mean like 90% to 95% of the ads that I run and we're very good at it?
Right. How do you go about figuring out what you did wrong or what you should do differently next time?
Let's give him a little love. He's also lost a little weight. He's looking good, and Colorado's been good to him. Say it.
The question that you just asked was an exact scenario in the book. So there's a lot of different scenarios that Gary goes into.
Yeah.
That's an exact one.
Yeah, so Steve, we break it down in the book, but I'll break it down a little bit here. Like, look, there's a lot of things that go into it. Did you target properly? A lot of it's the creative. Maybe you're targeting the right people with your media, but the creative sucks and that's why it didn't work. Maybe you're not targeting properly. Do you even know which platform? Was it better to do it on TikTok versus on Twitter versus on Facebook? So there's a lot to this, but the reality is it's very hard, Steve. You know, it's very hard, but the game is all about doing more, 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 right? More, 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 right. You know?
And I should say that we all are under the assumption that it's not Facebook's fault, it's the creator of the ad's fault.
It's always the creator of the ad's fault.
Right.
It's not the Super Bowl's fault that's underpriced. Right. First of all, it's always your fault because you decided to spend the money on the media and you made the creative. So like in theory, at net, it's always accountability, right?
Yeah.
So I think, but what are you trying to sell?
Oh, I sell little tiny LED lights that go with your Lego bricks.
Got it. So I would be doing organic content on TikTok and YouTube Shorts like crazy.
Okay, thank you.
Awesome.
I just got a new follower, wow.
Yeah, let's get you some followers. Lego fanatics, let's go. Blinky bricks.
Blinky bricks, yeah.
Let's go. Steve,
you're for your Legos.
Steve, bro. How fulfilling is it to be doing something you love?
Well, it's amazing because I started in 2009 and I wasn't able to go full time until 2018.
Right, so it was a side hustle.
Yes. Pay for things like buying new Lego, and then it became a business bigger later.
Dude, Steve, please do me a huge favor. Download the Fanatics Live app and make sure you join our next Fanatics Live show. Rips and Conman and Courtney, you're going to be such a fun part of our community.
And I'll email you at gary@vfriends.com about Cleveland. Very good.
And coming up here, you're going to go to Cleveland and we'll see you there and you'll hang at the vFriends booth the whole time. But also want you to come up to New York and have a meeting with my collectibles team. I just like your aura.
Oh, yeah.
And I just want to hang with you a little bit.
Oh yeah, I love collectibles.
And I want to trick you into selling me the one of ones. I'm joking.
To you, I might sell it.
No, I don't. Yeah. Honestly, I don't even want to put that pressure on you. It's so cool that you figured out that hack. I'm so impressed. Dude, I really want to meet you. I can't wait to meet you. Also, I'm like, can't wait to be friends getting big enough that there's gonna be Friends minifigures in Lego World. And like I'm dreaming of that day, 5, 7, 12 years from now, I think, to get to that level. But that's gonna be a big moment for me.
Well, I have friends who can custom make.
I know. I mean, like I wanna make so many people fall so in love with this brand over time that it becomes real. Liz, the hack was that Steve went out and bought up all the Gary V 101 Allen and Ginter 2019, right? 18?
Yeah.
19?
2019.
So Liz, that's gonna be my rookie card forever because it's made by Topps and like, so it was just kind of cool. So anyway.
Yeah, it's a real rookie card because it was made by Topps and it's
a. Now you nailed it. It was. You nailed it, brother. Good job. Love you.
Thank you very much. Bye.
Let's keep it going. Marwan.
Yeah, sorry, how are you?
I'm quite well. Where are you?
I'm in Lebanon.
Amazing. Beautiful country.
You know where Lebanon is?
Of course, I've been to Lebanon.
Yes, it's crazy. Okay, so my questions are, I recently started my business as an agency owner, and I'm doing this in parallel to my job, which is an aerodynamic engineer. So it's like a very consuming job, and I'm doing this on the side as well. I've been offline for the past 4 years from social media. I don't have any social media like audience base except on LinkedIn, and all of that are engineers. And my niche is something far away from engineers, and I just wanted an idea where to start. And should I start building an agency brand or a personal brand and then use that to build the agency brand?
I think you'll have more success with the personal brand to the agency because people connect with humans faster. Number two, my friend, LinkedIn is gonna be your absolute golden place. Because you can also target, if you wanna spend a little bit of money on ads, employees of certain organizations, ones that you know that you're gonna be targeting. One of the things I talk about in the book pretty heavily is the media capabilities of LinkedIn for B2B businesses, and it will be massive for you.
Okay, and talk to go about the other platforms, like, because I'm not very good at doing content, and I'm always struggling with what kind of content should I put on each platform.
Well, you should always talk about what you know, but talking comes in audio, video, and written form, right?
So you
can build a very big brand on LinkedIn as a human being only writing long form posts.
Okay, and people would read long form posts on LinkedIn?
The good news is you're in the B2B business, you only need a couple.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
When you're selling tea, you need thousands.
Yeah.
But when you're doing B2B, right?
A couple of clients.
I mean, if I said to you, my brother, I've seen the future. If you write long form every day on LinkedIn for a year, you'll have 13 clients. You'd be ecstatic.
Yep.
That's the answer to the quiz.
Okay.
So what I broke down there is what I talk about in the book and what I'm gonna say to everybody here who's watching. First, you have to figure out what you wanna say. You wanna talk about things you know or things you're passionate about or observations you have or stories, okay? Next, you wanna know how you wanna talk. Video does incredibly well, of course. But audio in podcast form with no video or just audio clips on your phone that you post or written form. Written form works too.
Okay.
The biggest issue, Marwan, that people make is they don't stick with it long enough for it to click.
So I don't mind, like for right now I just started doing posts on Twitter. So yeah. Just writing out things about marketing, about sales, about things that I'm learning throughout the journey as well. There's not a lot of traction over there, but I know that this will take time. I know that after a while, things will just start rising exponentially. Right now it's a little bit slow. So should I keep this on all platforms?
Yeah, but I'm telling you, LinkedIn, for what you're looking for, is gonna be your place. And Google LinkedIn ad buying and start watching 101 and reading 101 articles, start building your foundation, because I think advertising on LinkedIn for you, after you have a post go viral or go well, then you can take it and run it as an advertising against prospective client companies, it will work.
Okay.
All right? My brother, I wish you a lot of love. Take care of yourself. Love you, bro.
Thank you.
Hi, Gary.
How are you?
I'm so good. I'm freaking out like a lot. I put my books over here. I always try to get on and I never get on. So I'm really excited.
I'm so happy to be here, Katty. How are things?
They're great. I wanted to tell you thank you first. I started a podcast with a friend, a realtor. We're both agents in Louisiana 5 years ago because of you and your podcast and your content and your advice. And now I sell real estate almost more as a fun thing to do because I loved it so much, but the podcast has taken off so much that is my full-time job. So that was because of you.
Hold on. This really excites me because like this is literally very much part, I can't wait for you to read the new book because it's gonna help grow your podcast. But there's so many people watching right now that are like in this place and I'm just so happy that that you're like literally a real life example that they can all see that it's not just me being like, hey, like you can do it. Like it's real life stuff. Like you literally started doing the podcast as a driver for your real estate business, right? And to do something else.
Yeah. And it's different because we didn't, when I was listening to you, I'm like, oh, I'll start it and try to get clients, right?
Correct. You start, like I said, you started, right? Exactly. Like you started a podcast.
My friend was like, well, I want to do one too, but I really want to give back to the industry. And I'm like, all right, so our podcast is just for agents.
But by the way, you know this, all my content's for people too, but then it leads to things. Like if you see a video where I say something smart for free and I want it good for you, you might reach out to the Sasha group and become a Vayner client. Or you might hear me, you know, I'm always trying to plug my dad. Like you might sign up for WineText. Like you can do good. And by the way, as long as you do things without expectation, I don't do all this stuff expecting.
Right.
I go into this thinking, I don't know, like I'm not naive and delusional, but like I can tell you that the guys and gals around me would tell you this right now. I've been telling them, we're not gonna sell that many, right? I was like, we're not gonna sell that many books. Like I don't really, not that I don't care. I know we will sell some. I know I write good books. I know what, but like this is a high value day for the audience. And if it does or it doesn't is kind of irrelevant. And when you have that intent, then it does lead to the good thing, which is why you got to the place.
Yeah, absolutely. Our podcast ranks in the top 100 for entrepreneurs consistently for 5 years. And we only talk to our niche, which is other agents. And it's very how to, and then we'll talk mindset. And every week on every Monday, it has come out for 5 years because of that advice that you gave us. And it's just the consistency that builds it, really.
100%. Amazing. So happy for you. What question do you have?
Real estate is in a really weird place right now. Residential real estate, I'm sure you're keeping up with it a little bit, especially with your sister. All of the lawsuits and the settlement and things that are happening that are going to shake up the industry.
Right. Am I right in saying that there's like a real big one where the commission and the sharing and all that, like it might be a real to-do, right?
Yeah, so the DOJ is very interested in decoupling. So right now, it would just change the whole system of the way agents are paid. And the majority of agents are actually average 60-year-old females, but the DOJ is looking at it like we're these big businesses. We're entrepreneurs, you know, that are serving our clients as best we can. So I guess my question to you is, what advice can we give to these small real estate entrepreneurs who are running their business just for their people that are going to be in the middle of an industry shakeup or potential change in the way the system is run?
By being prepared to adjust to it. So if like the commission's cut in half because now they're going to be sharing one number and split it in half, that you're going to have to run a different business model. Like that happens all the time. Like, let me give you an example. So there was more people working at the Yellow Pages than people could imagine when search engines came out. Do you know how many people are in graphic design and work in Adobe all day, including many people that work for me that are in big trouble if that's the only thing that they can provide because AI creative is coming and that's real life stuff. What I would tell agents is, listen, if you get half the commissions, then you have to get twice as much business to go get back. Like the thing that people love business when it's working for them. People love entrepreneurship when it's working for them. They don't love it when it's not working for them. My advice would be get on your ass and start building your brand more on social media so you have more deal flow and more leverage. Because if you're the person bringing the deal flow, you know what's about to happen. If you're the one bringing the money, you have the leverage to take a bigger piece of the money.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, I have one more quick one as a podcaster because I sent in two questions and I don't know which one got me pulled over here.
You're right.
As a podcaster, we have hired a full-time marketing person. This is our first year with her. She is amazing, straight out of college, ready to learn, wants to implement any kind of practice on every single platform, trying things. What, other than reading Day Trading Attention, what should I tell her to, where should she start as learning? What is the thing that she needs to like hone in on to learn and grow those skills?
I really do think Day Trading Attention is gonna help her. I'll tell you why. And I say that very specifically for a reason. The answer is free content on the internet. Just because I have Day Trading Attention doesn't mean I'm not gonna put out content every day. And there's millions of other people putting out good marketing content and millions that are not. The reason I like Day Trading Attention is I think it's gonna give her the foundational principle. What should she be thinking about? Number one, organic social media content is at the forefront of importance now. Number two, when you make content, you have to know who you're making it for. So she'll learn how to make consumer cohorts. So 60-year-old women real estate agents, right, that live in Louisiana, very different real estate agent than somebody that works for Compass as a 26-year-old guy in Austin, Texas.
Yeah, and we have them all.
Of course you do. So the biggest mistake people make is they don't make content for different audiences. When I make wine content, that's for a certain audience. Some people don't give a shit. When I make garage sale videos, that's for some sort of audience. Other people don't give a shit. When I make Jets content, like, I keep telling people, stop listening to me. Don't even read the book. Nobody buy the book. Just watch what I do. Watch what I'm doing, not what I'm saying, right? Yeah. So what she'll learn is she'll first learn that it's about organic content over everything. Next, she'll learn that she has to target different segments, so she'll be making content for. Next, she'll learn that the first second of the video is life. And if it doesn't get you, and everyone's fucking that up. Copy, which platforms, like, it's post-production. Being a PCS, a post-creative strategist, AKA reading every comment, not only of yours, but of all 50 top podcasts, social media posts, she needs to spend time reading the comments of every one of those posts to get insights to what people are giving a shit about. This fucking game is hard.
Yeah. Yeah. It just takes a lot of work.
Yeah.
Okay. Also, last thing before you let me go, I'm a productive puffin. I have the first edition. I never sold it. I still have it. I have my second edition, which is at the pawn shop. So I've got my puffins. I have my box of cards. I've never opened a single one. Do you want me to open them?
Do you like trading cards?
No, I'm not going to trade them. I'm going to hang on to them because they were from you.
It sounds like based on you, you'll probably enjoy opening them because the individual, cards will like be more fun than just like the value continuing to increase on the box, right? A lot of people have really gotten freaked out because the boxes of the Series 2 boxes have gone from like $190 to $375 on eBay in the last like 6 to 12 months because demand's starting to really heat up. And so now people are like, ugh. And I was like, well, I mean, it's only like, where do you get the most value from, right? To me, like, it sounds like you might get the most value from actually opening them.
No, should we crack one?
Yeah, you should definitely crack one. If you're going to open it, let's open one.
Let's do it. I've never even opened the box. My husband keeps yelling at me to open the box. And then he's like, if you get on Gary Vee, you better ask him to be on the podcast. I'm like, I'll ask him my question.
I love that. But I like how you just asked for me to be on the podcast.
Did you like that?
I really liked it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, here we go.
All right. I've never opened a pack of cards. I've never.
Woke Walrus. Good. Next.
Boy.
The Gecko. Gutsy. I like being gutsy.
Okay.
Ooh, one of my favorite characters. I'm so pumped you pulled this. That is Cynical Cat. So V Friends is a very weird world. There's like 250 plus characters. There's very few bad guys. I think Cynical Cat, my plan with Cynical Cat over the decades is to like turn him into like my Joker, my Skeletor. Oh. Like, you know, like the anti, and then you know what happens. Everyone like starts to like the bad guys. I think Cynical Cat is gonna be, when I tell you, is that Zestful Zebra? Yep. Good pack. Cynical Cat. I will tell you that cynicism is one of my least favorite traits on earth. I love when people say like, no, I'm just keeping it real. I'm like, no, you're keeping it cynical. You're keeping it negative. People love to just say that. Cynical, man, cynicism is so lazy, so lack of bravery, so fear-based. I hate cynicism.
This has been awesome. Thank you so much.
Love you. How are you?
Hey Gary, dog and hen.com. My mom's a huge fan. She recently converted me after showing me the Jets jersey video. It's been her and I against the world since I was a child. So we started from the ground up, an all natural gourmet dog treat business. And I know you just said you love dogs, but that's
no, no, no. I hope you heard what I was trying to actually say there.
I know. I'm teasing.
Brother, that's a great little neat. I love that. I mean, I'm in love with that space. In general, like healthier food in general, cleaner food, both for humans and pets, I think is going to be a very, very bullish business for a while here.
I think we're dealing with one of the most educated customer bases that we've had in a long time. So I think
100%
doing the work for us. So, we've been in business for 3 years, 4 years, we've been full-time 3 years. All of our customers have been organically cultivated by going out there to farmers markets, fairs, events. And, you know, these are all returning customers as well. We've just gotten to a position where we've ironed out the process. We have our head above water as far as workload. And we're trying to get out there more with social media, get out of the state of Connecticut. I am embarrassed to say I have like 7 TikTok followers.
Yo, no Twitter, dog, let me say something. Did you say 7?
Yeah, 7.
I want you to hear something.
7 is better than 0.
Never be embarrassed of the number you're at. Yeah. If you're gonna be embarrassed on the
complacency to not attack the opportunity when you know that social is gonna be the driver of the growth of your business.
That's right. So that is something I do have to apologize for as well. I have only been committed to Instagram and Facebook. Like I said, we have 1,000 followers there. I would say 80% of those are real customers that either come into the store or buy online and shop directly with us.
That's huge.
And I think we're getting good content. So now I'm going to spend the next week just posting all that stuff again all over on TikTok. So I thank you for that. It's very much appreciated.
And what about YouTube Shorts?
I've never even thought of that. To be honest with you, just because I thought I never watch YouTube, I didn't realize that other people.
By the way, huge number one mistake by content creators and business people is they make business decisions based on themselves, not based on the reality of the world.
Yes, sir.
You know what I mean?
Forget about you. You're building a small business. I had a Fortune 500 CEO 6 years ago. It was might have been Musical.ly then, but it might have been TikTok. We have a full dinner and he goes, Gary, I just don't see it. Like, I don't see this. I think it was TikTok. It might've been just when it first happened. He goes, I don't see the TikTok thing. We're not gonna do it. I go, why? He goes, listen, I don't use it. Like, I don't see people using it. I go, you're 67 years old. I go, you sell your product to 20-year-olds. No shit, Don, you're not on it, but your customers are.
That's right.
Got it?
Yes, sir.
And by the way, some people here don't do it. You know how political social media got. People are making decisions on politics. Like, I'm not gonna, it's crazy. Everyone's in love with no, as if anybody gives a fuck that you're not on TikTok or that you're not gonna use it. Like, cool, Ronnie. That means you're gonna sell less shit. What are you accomplishing?
Nothing, that's right.
There's, perfect. You know how they say there's no, have you ever heard the term there's no crying in baseball?
Yeah.
That's how I feel about business. Like, it's fucking is what it is. You know what I mean, bro? Nobody gives a shit. Nobody cares that like winery and liquor sales are like, nobody's crying for people that sell alcohol because mocktails are exploding. Like, that's just business.
Yes, sir.
My dad's like, oh man, mocktails. And he's like, and marijuana. And like, I'm like, dad, that's just the way it is.
What's your website? People are asking, brother.
Dogandhen.com.
I like the name of that.
Dogandhen.com. Yeah, we started off with chicken jerky. So chicken jerky for dogs. So the dog eats the hen is what we originally started with. And I just want to show you a little bit real quick about our branding because we like to have fun with it. You know, we have 4 dogs and they are all part of the business. They are the chefs. They're the ones that are making the treats. It's raining, so I'll get right back in there so you can actually hear it. But as you can see, you know, we just opened our store this year. And I was listening to you about the Instagram ads and, you know, a 10, 15 mile radius to drive that kind of traffic.
100%, 5 mile radius on people that have enthusiasm. I don't know if targeting dog enthusiasts is still a capability. I got to get underneath the hood there. But
5 mile radius Facebook and there we go. 5 mile radius of Instagram and Facebook ads will work for your business, brother. It will work.
Fantastic. And then I wanted to shift to our customer base is largely women between the age of 18 to 65. You know, I got lovely, you know, like a lady like Mary Kirkland, who's 80 years older, living in Florida, ordering every month for her little dog. What is the best way to reach those kind of customers? You know, that female demographic.
Female 18 to 65 is Facebook, Instagram, YouTube Shorts, and TikTok.
Okay, and then what about the message we're sending? Like I said, we like to have fun, but I just want to make sure I'm doing something that's-
And, not or. Fun, okay. Information. I want to see a very nerdy reason that breaks down all that the beef is fucking grass-fed. Like I want it, or grass-finished, not grass-fed. And the reason it's grass-finished is because this is how the FDA, like I want you to nerd out. And then other things, I want you to throw a ball and watch a dog fucking run after it and fucking like, you gotta go, it's and, different shit. Every creative idea you had, anything that you think would bring people value, just like I do it. You could look what I've been doing on this. Sometimes I'm making jokes. Sometimes I'm getting very serious and dialed in. Like it's all over and.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much, Gary. If you push my mom enough, she might even ship me out to your camp this summer. So if you could also give her a shout out as well, that it's never too late to at an age to make content. She's not here in house, but she's away watching from a different.
What's her name?
I think she's on YouTube. Deborah Aceto.
Deborah?
Yep.
Deborah, I cannot wait to see you. Not only send him, you should come to VCon as well, VEECON.co. It's in LA. It is gonna be a remarkable community and learning experience, but I love you, I love what you're doing. You know, listen, I know you know this because of the business you're in, both for our animals and definitely for our humans, the food quality opportunity in America is very big. I love capitalism and I love business, but in some of that, we sometimes lose our way, and there's a lot of things that we do that tricks consumers. There's such a better way to eat, and like, am I able to eat that stuff? Not just for dogs?
No, it's not technically human grade. I eat it all the time, Gary. I can't tell you too. It's all human grade ingredients. I get everything from a restaurant supplier. I cooked for people for over 10 years before I started cooking for dogs. They're much better customers. and they actually never complain, especially if what you're giving them is good, and we only give the best.
I love that, brother.
We have the clear bags. We let them speak for themselves.
Yeah, brother. I'm about it, man. I believe in this shit so much. I mean, clean eating is like, and I, by the way, I ate like shit yesterday. I'm a human being. Like, you're gonna do different things, but I'm excited that people are getting more educated and knowing, you know, ingredients, not just calories, right, brother? Ingredients.
Yes, sir.
All right, man.
Thank you so much. You have a good one.
You too, brother. Anna, how are you?
Hi, Gary. Oh my God, I'm so nervous right now.
Don't be nervous. Everything is safe. We are all lovely people. Everybody is very nice. Where are you?
I am in the UK. It's currently 7:30 in the evening.
It is wonderful to see you.
Oh, it's such an opportunity. I think this is a one-time opportunity, especially for me. I have been consuming your content, I think, since I started this business 2 years later. So 2018, I would say. And every day I am in my house with my little ear pods with all of your content every single day. This is such a dream come true, honestly. Oh, thank you so much for this opportunity.
I'm so flattered, you can't imagine. Thank you.
So a little background. I was born and raised, my name is Anna, I am 39 years old. I was born and raised in the Philippines. When I got married in 2012, I moved here with my husband. He's a British citizen, he's Persian actually. And so we have two children now. I have a degree in nursing, but since I had children, I didn't want to work anymore. I stopped working. So just to be quick in my story, I started selling pre-loved designer handbags as a sort of, so that I have my own pocket money. I don't rely on my husband. Husband's an investment banker. So, and then that was 2016. And then 2018, I started doing Facebook Live selling to Facebook groups. And then I started my Facebook page. But then again, then in 2019, 2020, TikTok started, everyone's shift to TikTok. I didn't have time. I would say I'm blaming myself here. I didn't have time to start with TikTok purely because I was homeschooling my children because we had an early lockdown in the UK. It was like February of 2020.
But you were still doing the other stuff. You were still doing Facebook Live. You were still doing the other stuff, yes?
Yes, yes.
So you did have time. You made a strategic mistake that is based on why I wrote day trading. You're painting a picture to make yourself feel better. You didn't move to the shifting attention. Just like on the flip side, you did move to the right places when you went to Facebook Live. The problem is this game is hard. It moves a lot. So what made you work then became a vulnerability because then you got big enough where that was where your action was and you weren't investing in new attention.
No, because of the news that TikTok is bad, blah, 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 the US news, and my husband's like,
Excuse me, at that time, everyone was saying Facebook was bad too.
Yeah, but I was on Facebook. I know. Okay, that I have to take that responsibility of. It was my fault.
Because I'll tell you why I'm doing this for you. By accepting that responsibility, because you can see I'm not letting you get away with it.
No, go.
Now you're ready to really win. Because the more you believe that lie that you're telling to yourself, the more vulnerable you are to do it again.
Yeah.
Because in 3 months, 3 years, something's gonna come out, Polkadot, Shmokamot, HappyBot. What if Elon tomorrow relaunches Vine? He owns it, Twitter bought Vine. What if Vine, let's not forget, Vine was the app that
really started the process of these short form videos.
Vine.
Yeah, well, Vine was an OG platform that had a crazy year or two, and then it was bought by Twitter and kind of lost its way, but it was the precursor to a lot of the short form video. And so I think that
I'm just really happy we had that moment, because that will, if you can own that and say, no, I made a strategic mistake and didn't see the opportunity on TikTok and didn't allocate some of the time I was spending to that to build that up, now you're gonna be prepared to be ready when the next time it is happens.
Yeah, absolutely, whatever it takes, I would. And I only went on TikTok when I found these people that are on the same like category of me, pre-loved seller in the UK, and they're smashing it, and they're now millions of followers. And I was like, oh my goodness, I missed it now.
Well, there's a couple things there. One, the big mistake you made there was you allowed someone else's reality dictate how you felt about yourself.
Right.
Right? Like, people are getting so distracted by others. There's no missing. And don't get, you know, pay attention to what's going on, but don't dwell when someone else has done something and make you feel like you missed it. The world is abundant. You've missed nothing. I started making YouTube videos in 2006.
Yeah, I know. Every time I watch on, I was like, 2006. And when every time people are saying, what are you doing? This is not working. I know your story, your full story, because I watch all your content. And
well, I want you to start internalizing that. If you're watching and listening so much, start to make it your own. Meaning, by the way, I love so much about you already. Like, you, I'm going to argue that the biggest thing that breaks you out hasn't even been invented yet. That your big breakthrough moment's going to be 7 years from now on some sort of new virtual reality live platform.
Really? Because I have been asking myself. I started in TikTok in 2022. So probably 2 years now. And I was like, where's my break? I have all this content and now I'm on 200.
You're not good enough at it yet.
Yeah. Oh my God. I've probably put thousands of videos, but I have like this. I looked on other people's content, like the same business as me. When I copy their videos, mine flopped.
That's because maybe it's not authentic to you. Maybe it's not best practices for you. Maybe what they do is better. Copying is not copying when you have human beings involved. Two humans doing the same thing have two different outcomes because that's the way human stuff works.
It's just, I'm just struggling to grow right now. I have
I am struggling to grow right now.
Yeah.
This is temporary.
Do you know my favorite times is when I'm not growing?
What?
My favorite time is when I'm not growing.
When you're not growing.
Because it's fun to try to figure it out. Is your self-esteem wrapped up in being successful at this?
I'm the eldest. I'm opposite of you in some sense. You are very confident. I am very shy, and I'm actually surprised that I am on this old. Yeah, I'm the face of my business.
Yeah, you were not shy. You were not. You might have started off being shy. But
I started off being shy. Yes.
You are not shy.
Oh, okay. I don't know. I think that's a compliment because I thought I come across shy.
Listen, I love people that are reserved and introverted because that's what they are. And
I am introverted. I am introverted.
Many of my best friends, people I love the most, people I like, people I do business with, are incredibly introverted. And I love people that are extroverted. Like, introverted and extroverted, shy or out there, is not that. Those all work.
Insecure is what I'm worried about.
Okay, I am not insecure. No.
I know that.
Oh.
I could smell it a mile away from the UK. But what you are. But what I'll tell you what you are.
Yeah, please do.
You're impatient.
I am impatient, yes. I am impatient. Absolutely right, 101%. Because every day that I post videos, when it doesn't go, the numbers doesn't go up, I thought, oh, what am I doing wrong? I have been on TikTok for 3,000 followers for so many months.
Yeah, you're not good at it.
Oh. What content do I post? Pre-love, designer, hashtag.
Let me ask you a question.
You say you listen to my content.
Yeah.
How many times have I said in the last 6 months to go live on TikTok live?
Yeah, I have. What kind of topic? I don't have TikTok shop. TikTok is rubbish. They don't want to accept pre-love.
You are a really funny character.
TikTok is rubbish. It's free
awareness.
I know. Okay. Just straight a topic, yeah?
Talk to people. Answer people's. You're an inspiration to people. You came from the Philippines to the UK. You raised a family. You homeschooled. You fucking started a business. Talk about everything. Talk about what your Persian husband annoys you about. Do everything. I don't know. Talk about flowers, tequila, dresses. I don't. You can talk about everything.
On the business account or personal account?
Oh, both.
Okay. Both.
Humans like humans.
Okay. What about the posting on social media? What shall I
post? Can I tell you something that we're gonna end up with?
Yeah, please.
Here's what we're gonna end up with. Do you know why most people don't grow on social?
Why?
Because they're selfish.
Okay.
Let me explain why.
Do you know what I think about every time I post a piece of content?
What?
I think about something very different than what you think about.
You think about how is this going to be good for me? And I think about how is this going to be good for you?
Okay. Whew, I have to change that.
Yes, you do. Okay. Got it? You have so much to give.
Thank you, Gary.
But right now, you're trying to extract value from the community.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You're posting with, am I gonna grow? Am I gonna sell this? Is this gonna be good for me? And when I post, I'm like, why would somebody listen to this or watch this? And will it be good for them?
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah, that makes so much sense.
Yeah. Whew.
Yeah.
Do you know what happens when you do good for them?
They do good for you. Okay, good. Oh my goodness. Thank you so much. So much value, and I can't wait to get my book. I am not a book person. I am audio person. So I might have to buy that audio copy as well.
I hope you have the best day.
Thank you very much, Gary. See Bye-bye. You.
Hey everybody, I wanted to say that a new book is coming. The follow-up to Jab, 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 Right Hook, originally called Jab, 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 Left Hook, but I finally captured what I've been doing for the last 20 years as an entrepreneur, as a creator and influencer, as an operator of a marketing company that works with Fortune 5,000, 500 companies, and really the punchline of what I'm seeing in society, which is day trading attention, how to actually build brand and sales in the new social media world. I'm really proud of this book. When I read it, and some of you follow my social enough to see the clips, when I read it in studio, it got so deep. It goes so detailed. It goes macro and micro, as I like to roll. And so if you've not picked up a copy yet, go to GaryVee.com/DTA, which stands for Day Trading Attention. That's GaryVee.com/DTA for Day Trading Attention. I have a feeling that this book, much like Jab, 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 Right Hook, literally got an email yesterday about Jab, Jab, Right Hook. They just read it. It's 10 years ago. The updated version of the marketing manual for your marketing team. Definitely if you have a social media person that runs your stuff, you need to get a book for them. And definitely the marketers in Fortune 500 for your staff and the entrepreneurs and creators and influencers who are trying to build something for themselves. So proud of it. Hope you enjoy it as much as I enjoyed putting it together. The manual that we are going to give to everybody when they join VaynerMedia to read, and hopefully the manual to the modern marketing world, and especially social media first world. Day Trading Attention out this May 2024. Pre-order your copy now.